I'm Dan.
And I'm Joey.
And this is the Celebrity Apprentice Recap.
It's like me mentioning to someone that you're going through menopause.
After I survived the second week in a row, the reaction was the same as the first week. The ladies were all delighted to see me.
Please tell me that was your thumb.
You want a stick figure in your ad when you can have all this woman?
Bitch is dumb as rocks.
I admire him for his enthusiasm, but he could have kept his pants on. Because I had been notoriously involved in a selfie, really, I think, helped start the trend.
My butt is real, unlike hers, and it's not going to pop no matter what, but it's cute or
they
something other
thing.
They
can actually do artificial asses now, is that right? I've been hearing about it. I don't like the concept of it for anybody. I don't want to see it.
Oh, we've got so much to go over this week here on the Celebrity Apprentice Recap. I don't even know how to call this anymore because they keep talking about it like it's two episodes. It plays like it's two episodes, but every time I watch it, it's really one episode. Joey, what do you think about this? Do you have any thoughts on this two-episode, one-episode controversy that I'm inventing right now?
Yeah, you're definitely inventing it. There's just no question about it. It seems pretty clear to me. I checked my cable guide, and it says that this is episode two, so it's episode two. I don't see what the problem is. It's just two tasks in one episode, and that seems to be throwing you off.
It does throw me off. Okay, because it was a two-hour show, right? It was
right.
A two-hour show. And then I want to say the last time that they had it, it was a one-hour show, which felt very short because I was so used to the 2 hours. And now it's, okay, we're still the one-hour show, but it's two episodes. Like, the ads do say two episodes, but it's a one-episode thing. It's a one-episode block on my cable guide. It's a one-episode thing when I look it up. I tell you, I'm just thrown about the whole idea. That's all. I'm thrown.
As I understand it, they're eventually going to stop doing that, right? They can't keep knocking off two every week, or else we'll be done, you know, in another 3 weeks or so. So they have to, you know, revert to the other format of it being one firing a week, with maybe every now and then him surprising you with, you know, two people getting canned. But I think that's coming, and maybe that'll make that'll ease your angst a little bit.
I guess so. And, you know, I think maybe that's what it is, because I feel like we're rocketing through this season already.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
This is the third week that it's been on, and, you know, really, it's episode five. You know, we've had five firings already, so, okay. Anyway, enough about my own anxieties and nonsense. Do you have any overall impressions that you're taking away from Monday's Celebrity Apprentice?
Athletes suck at Celebrity Apprentice.
Let me ask you this question. Athletes, all right? Now, Johnny Damon and Terrell Owens, who, as you, a sports person, right? That's you. You're a sports person?
Former sports journalist, long time.
There we go.
Across the country, coast to coast.
Terrell Owens was a big personality when he played football, was he not?
Yeah. He absolutely was.
What happens when these people come on Celebrity Apprentice and all of a sudden they become extremely boring human beings?
I don't get it, with the possible exception. I haven't studied this, what I'm about to say. But the athletes that he is bringing in are people that have already their careers are over, and
yes,
they've faced all this criticism. You know, Daryl Strawberry comes to mind, of course.
Absolutely,
right? And he isn't all that different from Terrell Owens, with, you know, considering all the criticism that he faced, and, you know, a huge personality, you know, on the field of play during his time, just like T.O. But I feel like when these guys get to Celebrity Apprentice, you know, they've just decided they're on the downside of not just their careers, but also their post sports career. They don't have a lot going on. They owe a lot of money to people. They have, you know, baby mamas and stuff like that.
They owe a lot of money to people.
they do, right? And
I don't know.
You know, Terrell Owens stopped playing because basically he was considered too much of a pariah to be able to play with anybody anymore. He bounced around on all those teams, burning bridges left and right, like Strawberry kind of did. And, you know, he had his own reality show just a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's right.
And he was the same way. I tuned into that show. It was around 2009. I tuned into that show because I wanted to see the fireworks. But he was a pretty, you know, close to the vest kind of guy in that show as well. So I think that, you know, they're just sort of thinking, I don't want to, you know, push the envelope anymore, because every time I do, I get in trouble. And now I don't have all that credit built up anymore with my phenomenal athletic ability.
Mm. And does Dennis Rodman, does he fall into this category too? Dennis Rodman, who was outlandish all over the place,
yeah.
Seemed like he was on a sedative when he was on Celebrity Apprentice. And, yeah, Mr. Trump, bro, yeah, I guess so. Like, he seemed like he was mumbling the entire time. All right, let me put it to you this way.
Yeah.
When these guys were playing sports,
yeah,
and they were hugely successful in that field,
yep,
more, maybe more, do you think about this idea that more confidence is going, yes, you're talking to me and I'm in a stadium and this is my home and this is where I exist and this is where I matter, and where I'm in the boardroom with Donald Trump, I am not comfortable here. I matter much less over here. I don't really know what I'm doing.
I think it goes back to that thing that I said about, you know, having credit, right? So, like, mm-hmm, you know, life is all about, you know, like an account, right, of goodwill that you put more money, more goodwill into the bank account, and you take some out. So when you have enough credit, you know, you can take some out. And when you're an athlete and you're sort of working at a debit, if you still have the amazing ability, you know, to dominate the sport, then even though everybody hates you and, you know, it's not going your way at the moment, you have a three touchdown, $200 touchdown performance, and all of a sudden you're going to be the player of the week, and, you know, and all, mm-hmm, that stuff is going to go your way again. And how that can compare to Celebrity Apprentice is the guys in the past that, you know, Donald has brought back, like Pierce Morgan. He's out here. He's like, he feels like he's a rock star every time he comes. He feels like he's that athlete that's dominating the field of play.
Yes, he
and
does.
He doesn't care about whether or not he has enough credit in the account or not, but he must have enough because he just keeps coming through the way Terrell Owens did on the field. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, actually, that's pretty good. That's not bad. Now, for you personally, do you have credit in your bank of credibility?
You know, it fluctuates with every person. I'm not sure how I'm doing with the podcast listeners, however. I'm a little nervous about that.
That's an excellent question. I would love to get an answer on that one. I'm not going to get into it too much. All right. So, and before we jump into the first hour, and I'm eager to jump into the first hour, I just want to let everybody know that after we discuss what happened, what went down on the Get Down, Joey is going to debut his Celebrity Apprentice power rankings. You don't want to miss that. It's phenomenal, exciting, wonderful stuff that it honestly, it's the kind of stuff that we just don't have enough of in the world. You know what I'm saying? Reality show power rankings. It's what makes the world go round.
It's what's for dinner.
All right. This episode, by the way, did you know it's called A Family Affair?
I did not notice that.
Yes, there we go. Okay. This one was called A Family Affair, and maybe it's because Donald Trump had both of his kids on, or maybe it's because Johnny Damon got naked with his wife. I'm not entirely sure, but let's get into it. The task is that the teams have to create some sort of a fitness magazine insert for Cosmopolitan. This, honestly, it's one of those when you hear that this is the task, what are you thinking in your head?
I'm thinking, how long is my next yawn going to last?
Oh, it's right? It's a little like that?
Yeah, a lot like that, actually.
Yeah, it really is. And it's absolutely, it seems like a task, because it's for Cosmo that's going to favor the women, right?
Of course, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So, I love what the men do. They sit together once again. All right, Johnny Damon is your project manager, and Geraldo Rivera once again tosses out his idea and kind of pushes it on the group. Honestly, I thought it was a really good idea, and this is the idea that it was going to be selfie based. You know, we'll go ahead and it's all about yourself, and then we're going to have people, we're going to have all of us taking selfies of each other. Johnny Damon, you will have your hot wife there, and she'll get naked with you, and we'll take pictures of that, and that's what our spread is going to be. What did you think of their whole concept?
I thought it was okay. You know, I was more entertained with Geraldo's demonstrations of how some of the pictures should go. He really got up close and personal with Johnny Damon.
He grabs Johnny Damon. I don't understand this. I don't understand the point of this. I'm going to grab Johnny Damon. Listen, here's how you should do this with your wife. You can't just go ahead and describe this. No, no. Let me show you by wrapping my arms around you, by bending over in front of you.
Oh my gosh.
With ass to pelvis, reach, you know, just touching there.
No. He was the one that was behind him, right?
Yeah, Damon. Oh no, wait, no wait. Wasn't Geraldo bending?
No, because when Damon walked away, he was like,
"Oh, ah. You're right. It was the other way around." Oh, just get up.
And you know, I liked what Ian said about that. He was like, you know. It just lasted way too long. Like
it really did. Like, okay, look, let me just show you how to do this. All right, we're gonna touch each other. It's gonna be a little weird, but yeah, you're right. It just kept on going and going and.
It was like you should have known going in that it was a little uncomfortable. And by the way, Geraldo was smiling about it. I think he knew that this was sort of a little bit, you know, somewhat risky. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but it was a little bit out there. But still, the fact that he seemed to be cognizant of that, in my view,
yes.
he still stayed there way too long.
yes, he did. Come on, Geraldo.
I don't get it.
You know, this,
I don't get it.
This hour was full of good Geraldo shenanigans. Hour two was a lot less, but this one was full of them. At some point, he decided that it was going to be necessary for him to be involved in the pictorial. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take all my clothes off and walk around. Although, by the way, I'm leaving my underpants on and my shoes and black socks. Everyone's going to start walking around with little dumbbells.
What was the point of the dumbbells? I just didn't understand that part.
It was to help. I think it was to help accentuate how good of shape he's in. Look, I'm working out with these 2-pound dumbbells that I've got that women use when they're running on the treadmill. These are the ones that they use. Yeah, that's what I use. I'm Geraldo. Did not know that Geraldo was tatted up there. Didn't know he had a lot of ink. Did you notice?
I found that less interesting than Terrell's opinion about the whole thing.
Yeah, he just should have just kept your pants on.
He
did appreciate his enthusiasm, though, is what he said.
That's what he said, yes. Man, Geraldo, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but...
I don't know. I don't know what to make of any of that. But I will say this. Johnny Damon is project manager. I don't really know what he actually did other than have his wife show up and them take pictures. But everybody seemed to just be okay and worked together pretty well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In that regard, you know, he did step up. He was pretty vocal, you know, throughout it. Everybody – there's no drama on this team except for Geraldo. I don't even think there was really Geraldo drama.
No, it was just Geraldo, goofiness.
Right. So I think it was easy. It turned out to be a pretty easy task for him in that sense, you know, that the challengers were few and far between. And, you know, and it's largely because he has a wife who has a lot of experience doing these types of photo shoots. And that changed everything for him.
Now, for you personally, if you're doing one of these photo shoots and you decide to bring your wife in, are you okay like lying in a bed naked with your naked wife and then everybody from Celebrity Apprentice hanging around and you're taking photos?
I think when you're on the stage like these people are, as long as you have been, I think you're okay with that. I think you're pretty used to it.
I thought so too. I will tell you that my wife saw that and could not get over it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's like, look, Dan, would you be okay if, you know, my boobies are hanging out and everybody's watching? Like, yeah, you know, honestly, sure, why not? That's, you know, that wasn't a good answer, by the way.
It's good to see you guys connecting on Celebrity Apprentice.
Yes, exactly. I need to work on my answers. Over on the women's side, it was this task was exactly what we've been expecting from the women, which is just a lot of bitchiness, a lot of sniping, and it all stems from our two housewives, Kenya Moore and Brandi Glanville. What did you think about the problem that these two ladies had with each other? And actually, wait, before then, let me ask you this. They go ahead and they decide, Jamie Anderson, who is the project manager, they all agree to have Brandi be the model for their side, right?
Right, right.
Now, I will say this. Kenya Moore is a former Miss USA.
Well, she said it as well, so she must have been.
Yeah, clearly you found out. You found out about it because I've never seen somebody feel so slighted about, wait a minute, do you not know how good I look?
Right.
Do you think she was justified in all of that attitude that she put up after being passed over for Brandi Glanville, who is, well, not Miss USA and is quite a bit older?
Right. I was having a little trouble with that. Like, how much is too much? You know, and then the other thing is, did she have a right? Did she have a point? Like, I wasn't exactly sure why they were so quick to pick Brandi Glanville. By the way, Brandi Glanville hails from Salinas, California. I'm not sure if you were aware of that, Dan.
Oh, my goodness. No kidding. Salinas, California. Wait a minute. Isn't that where they have the Steinbeck Center?
That's absolutely correct. Oh, some people have gotten married there.
No kidding.
Yes, yes.
It's a lovely town.
So I've heard. So, but in any case, I was a little – they just seemed to – the way the editing went, they just seemed to instantly all pretty much unanimously pick – Brandi, which she was fine with, and then when I'm not sure if I think Kenya brought up a little bit of resistance publicly, and that Jamie said, "What, you know, we need Kenya to be in on the creative part. Is that what she wanted her to be? Because she's really well suited for that." Yes, right? Is that what she said?
Yes, she wanted her to do some of the writing, and then I don't know if it was initially intended that way, but Kenya ended up directing the photo shoot.
Yeah, so she did a lot of work. And you know, some of her performance was good, and some of it, you know, open for debate. But I don't know. I was just more surprised with how quickly they went with the older person,
yes,
who is not built, you know, as voluptuously as the younger person. So
you say it so the older person, the younger person.
I don't know.
All right, so. About the things that are open for debate, her directing Brandi, the idea behind this. Now, if you've been paying attention to the show, and you and I have, and if you're listening to this, you probably have too, you may have already figured out that these two women have problems with each other. They don't like each other. Is it a good idea to have one directing the other? Isn't that just really a recipe for disaster?
That is, and that would be the kind of thing that probably a good project manager would anticipate and try to avoid.
Yeah, I would think so, because, you know, 3 seconds in, hey, arch your back this way, do that. Brandi does not want to take any – Brandi seemed very uncomfortable posing to begin with, which I was very surprised at. And then she certainly didn't want to take any direction, and then there was this issue about, look, show some skin. I don't want to show some skin. It's the whole thing. It was just insane to me. If you don't want to show skin in Cosmo, why have you volunteered to do this? Why have you said, yes, I'll be the model. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you know, she probably was a little uncomfortable coming into it, but thought that, you know, she could make it work. You know, by, you know, playing under the radar a little bit in that way. I felt a little bit of sympathy for her. I don't know if you did, but, you know, when she said in the confessional that, hey, you know, she's just had a baby. She's 42 years old.
Oh, sure.
She's a little bit embarrassed about her figure in that way. You know, and then some of the things that Kenya was ripping her for, you know, her lack of booty and whatever, that was, I just felt a little bad for her. You know, like she's up there trying to give it her best shot, and she's getting ripped on pretty good. And I'm not, you know, if it was the men, if there were two men involved, one man was directing the other, I mean, unless Geraldo was involved, I kind of feel like everybody else would have been okay. Like, you know, I could see Johnny Damon, you know, saying to Terrell, hey, can you just sort of do it this way? Or
yes.
How about
yes.
that? And I don't think that there would have been as much, you know, hate. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And now, was it Lorenzo directing the photo shoot? I think he was.
I think he was, too.
Yeah,
he was.
I'm sure he went. He gave some direction here and there, you know, do this right. way, do it that way. Yeah, no, there was no issues on the men's side at all.
Right. Why?
All right, so we go ahead, and when we got to the boardroom going in, did you already have an idea as to who won, or did you have an opinion as to who was doing better than the other?
Well, no, I didn't. You know, I really liked the idea that the women talked about with the app, Touch Me.
Yeah,
you know, they were making an app, and if you touch the part of the certain part of the body, then all these different workouts would come up. I liked that, and I didn't see anything like, you know, they really didn't wind up showing that very much on the air, if at all. And the men didn't really come up with that kind of a concept for the app. But outside of that, I don't know. I mean, Lisa gave us, you know, kind of a, you know, I guess an ominous warning.
An indicator.
She predicted,
Yeah.
She predicted inaccurately that the judges would not be impressed by a sort of splintered off concept that, you know, just was didn't tightly mesh together.
Yes, yes. You know what? So, I'm glad you brought that. I was going to say that. I was like, the one indicator that I had was when Lisa said, you know what? I'm looking at this, and it's like we've got three different concepts going here, and it's not very cohesive, and that doesn't look good.
And, you know, by the way, my wife actually said the same thing even before Lisa pointed that out.
Really? She was able to – I honestly didn't even notice what was going on with their different pages. I don't even think
I didn't notice it that much either. You know, it started out as, hey, let's go ahead and, you know, be the Olympians. And, of course, I even had trouble even understanding that. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, whatever. It's all going to come together somehow, and I'll understand later. And then there are, you know – but I wasn't really thinking about it that critically, I guess, or maybe it just was over my head. But somehow my wife says to me, oh, yeah, here's their problem, blah, 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 blah. It's the same exact thing that, you know, like that Lisa points out and that comes up in the boardroom.
Oh, and before we hit the boardroom, one last thing on the men's side. Geraldo keeps talking about his infamous selfie that, honestly, I had to really rack my brain to remember. But he also added in that he thinks helped start the trend of selfies.
That was – now, listen, I remember that very well when he did it. It wasn't all that long ago. But right. It was on Twitter.
Yes.
And it was shocking to me, you know, that he did it. And so I can't get that out of my head. But did he say father or grandfather?
I don't know.
I'm not sure either. I think he said father, and then somebody else said – misquoted him maybe and said that he said he was the grandfather of it. But – yeah, I think selfies were out before that. But what I thought was mm-hmm. maybe he may have had something to it is that he made it more popular. And is he the one that came up with the word selfie? Because I think that's what he was kind of saying. But
come on, no, he did not come up with the word selfie. I think he's delusional. That's what
I think so too.
I think this is. Little glimpses like that, okay? Nobody really picked up on it. I didn't hear anybody talking about it. I didn't see a lot of mentions on Twitter when I was tweeting during the show. But that's like little glimpses into just how giant the ego is with that guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's it right there. Like that little quip about, I helped start the trend of selfies with a picture of myself. Are you crazy? That's hilarious. That is hilarious. All right, so anyway, let's get to the boardroom.
Yep.
Both boardrooms, kind of hilarious tonight. This one, where the men win, good for the men, bad for the women. Jamie has to bring back people. Now, during the boardroom, before we've announced who's won, before we've announced who we're bringing back, all of the conversation is about Kenya, who did a lot of the tasks. So if the task failed, understandable in bringing her back. And then there was a lot of conversation about Brandy and all of the problems that were going on between her and Kenya. And Jamie, who does she choose to bring back? Kenya and? Tell me, Joey.
Kate, Kate plus eight.
Kate Gosselin, who I think I may have forgotten was in the episode altogether. Kate Gosselin, who was probably sleeping, you know, in that back row somewhere, and someone, hey, you're coming back to the boardroom. Someone had to nudge her. Lisa Gibbons has to nudge her to wake up. Are you kidding me? That was just so honestly straight up dumb. Just a dumb thing to do.
Especially the way the boardroom scene was going. It was all about Kenya and Brandy, and everybody was weighing in on that. Even Lisa weighed in on that, you know, in her own professional way. But still, even she weighed in on the drama that was happening between Kenya and Brandy. And all the sniping that was going on.
Yes.
And, you know, the cheap shots that they were taking at each other. And, you know, one of those shots that kept coming up as sort of like a sub theme was whether or not Kenya Moore's butt is real or not. And I never got a definitive answer, which is the thing I think I hate the most.
I tell you what, I, at several points throughout the day, as I've thought about this podcast that we're going to do, I kept thinking, you know, I should go ahead and look up whether or not Kenya Moore's butt is real. Because I didn't get an answer either. Although I do believe Kenya did say in the boardroom that it was real. I do believe
I think she did
that.
Too, yeah. But it was unconvincing the way she did it.
All right, could someone get an X-ray to the Trump boardroom, please, for the next episode? We need to solve this riddle. For goodness
sake. I think superfan John Bartman on our Facebook fan page might be the kind of guy that this might be the kind of work for someone just like him.
So we're going to get an investigative reporter on this. That's good.
I like it.
All right. So she brings back Brandy. Oh, no, I'm sorry. She doesn't bring back Brandy. She brings back Kate Gosselin and Kenya Moore. And at some point while they're sitting there, you know, there's those that time where, you know, Trump has you like it's like you're waiting to go into the principal's office. It's the three people who are going back into the boardroom. They got to sit there and wait. They got to wait for that woman who announces. All she does is tell people to go in and out of boardrooms. And at this moment, this is when Jamie starts to realize, you know, why didn't I bring Brandy back? What was
well,
I
she
thinking?
Starts to realize it because Kenya won't stop talking about it.
Yes. Yes. So when she gets back into the boardroom, the first thing she does is, you know what? I made a mistake. I screwed up. Can I bring Brandy back? Because I brought the wrong person back. I shouldn't have brought Kate back. Now, let me ask you, right then and there, should she have been fired at that moment of coming back into the boardroom and saying, you know what? I made a mistake on who I brought back?
I don't know if I would say right then and there, but, you know, she basically had her fate sealed as soon as she did that. Like, you still have to have some conversation about it. But, I mean, that's about as big a faux pas as you could ever have in the boardroom. I mean, she had already endured some tough criticism about her lack of leadership, you know, that was on display, you know, during the functioning of the task. Mm-hmm. And the way she didn't want to, you know, she kind of sacrificed control to make sure that there was more harmony, you know, the types of decisions that, you know, the apprentice winner, you know, is not going to be known for. And it's the very opposite. You know, you're supposed to be cutthroat and tough.
Yes.
You're not supposed to be wishy-washy and, you know, a flower child and, you know, and just sort of hope everything just sort of works out. And now here she comes back in and she's had her arm twisted in great part by Kenya and, mm-hmm. and somewhat by Kate. And, you know, the first thing she says to Trump, instead of just owning it, you know, and saying, look, I'm just going to go ahead and power through, she says, I think I made a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
what are you talking about?
If she was a smarter person, what she would have done is taken all of the blame and put it right on Kenya. This is the person who came up. Listen, I did the best that I could, but she directed everything, and this is the mess that she left me with, and she was impossible to deal with. She was arguing with Brandy the whole time. She had a very easy path, a very easy tactic, and honestly, it wouldn't have even split the vote. It would have just been, all right, it's either Jamie or it's Kenya, because Kate is a non-factor here. So
Kate is probably going to go with whoever she thinks is winning in the boardroom too, don't you think?
Oh, probably. Probably, yes. Yes, I would I would say so. And yeah, and that would be a good move on her part, because that's someone you're going to have to deal with, you know, in the in whatever the next task is.
But I still think Jamie would have gone, because I don't think that she's going to be able to fight off Kenya. Kenya's going to fight harder and stronger.
Yes.
And I don't think that, I just don't think that's in Jamie's personality, which is surprising because she's an Olympic gold medalist.
Yes, this is true, and this is true. You know, I tell you, though, I wish she had not gone in there and just basically gave it up, because as soon as she did that, it was, okay, she's the one who's being fired.
Absolutely. All the tension went out the show.
Yeah, it sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
it's like I was just waiting for it to happen.
Yes.
You know. Are. All right. Let's do this so we can get on to the next hour.
Yep. And so that's what happened. Jamie Anderson gets fired, and we move on to our next task, which is teams selling wedding dresses for charity. As soon as I heard wedding dresses, I started to, you know, nod off a little bit. But then when I realized, oh, it's just another fundraising task. Okay. I perked a little bit back up. But before we start on this one, now we've gotten to that moment, and it seems a little early to me, where we switch the teams up.
Right.
What did you think about what he did? He put Ian on the opposite team of Geraldo.
Right.
But he kept Brandy and Kenya together.
Yep. And I think, those are the right moves to make. You know, it's his show. And you know he's going to manipulate this for the most powerful drama that he can get. I think he must realize or recognize that Ian and Geraldo are the two strongest players potentially left, and it would be nice to see kind of a that sword fight happening.
But wouldn't you like to have taken, by the same token, Brandy and Kenya and split those two up as well?
Well, I thought about that too, but no, it makes sense to keep them, close to each other, that thing going on the whole time.
I tell you, I wish he had done it. I don't know. I would like it if he had split those two up as well, because then we have two definitive sides. Then we have, the Geraldo Kenya side and the Ian Brandy side, or however it would have been. You know, I would have liked to, two definitive sides. You know, pick who you're going to like. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know if you know this, Joey, but I read a blog written by Ian Ziering about this project.
Okay.
Now, you know that when they asked for people to step up, he, like, immediately rose, put his hand up, right?
Right. He apparently came into the show like he should. Like, this is like – to me, this is a no-brainer. If you're going to go on Celebrity Apprentice, then – Get your potential funds ready ahead of time. Start working on your friends and your contacts.
Yes.
And get commitments. And he did that. He talked about that. He said he had a war chest of like $185,000 ready to go.
Yes.
That was terrific. That was so impressive.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, you're right. The fact that he had that was very impressive. Now, I got to tell you, before they went ahead and split up the teams and everything, he says that him and Sig Hansen both wanted to be project manager. And I'm going to read you a little bit what he wrote here. He said, We stepped out on the balcony to have a little come to Jesus meeting. All right, we got to talk about some of the things that this guy says. All right. I mean, he's such a, white-hatted blowhard at times.
Yes,
it's a little much, Ian. Essentially, I challenged him to come up with how much money he'd bring to the table. Sig refused. I gave him this parting shot. Well, I guess we'll see where we are in the AM, because as soon as you say you want to be project manager on camera, I'm going to ask you how much money you have promised. And you're going to have to say it and own it. If you got it, you got it. If you don't, step aside.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome stuff, man.
Yeah, Steve Sanders laying the hammer down right there on Sig. Sig Hansen, who's pretty much been one of those background guys, he's just been sort of floating along.
Absolutely.
Here, okay, you know what? I'm ready to step up. But I guess maybe Sig wasn't sure on how much he had. Of course, we're taking Ian's word for it. We have no idea what Sig has to say about it. But
I wouldn't think that Sig, especially watching the way he's played, and then he's like one of these reality show people – I wouldn't think that he should feel confident that he has all these connections that are going to bring in a tough ton of money. You know, doesn't that seem kind of weird?
It does. He is the kind of guy that is a big question mark. I don't know who he knows. I can say this, though. We've gone through now two times where we've done the raising the money.
Yep.
And he hasn't even been in the discussion of being in the bottom. So he's like, he's doing something.
We don't know where – you're right. We've heard the very bottom people.
Yes.
And we've heard the top people.
Yes.
But he's one of the few people that we didn't hear his number.
You know what would be great is if they were to put out like a little box score after the show and let us know who raised what.
Yeah.
I would love to see
graphic.
That. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So you've got Ian on one side, and as soon as Ian jumps up, well, Geraldo on the other side feels the need to toss his hat back into the ring.
Here we go.
Here it is. It's I love this because Geraldo has already won, and it's only task number 5. So he doesn't really have to go again. He could just kind of relax this time around. But I don't know. Do you think it was all right? I see Ian's over there jumping up. I want to shut this guy down.
I think that may have played a role in it. Yeah.
All right. So now it's the very simple thing. It's under the guise of selling wedding dresses. What do you think of this idea of, you know, instead of just people giving money for charity, there's always this aspect of selling something or making some, you know, terrible pie that nobody wants to eat or, you know, giving you something terrible and just overcharging you for it ridiculously. All right, here is a cookie that's going to be $25,000, you know.
Right.
I don't think look, just take the – I'm just going to give you the money. I don't know.
I'd rather have the cookie, though, than the wedding dress.
Well, these are our options. That's correct. I'd rather – you know, I just don't want the pretense. Don't want the pretense. But I think maybe there's the whole idea of, well, let's watch Gilbert Gottfried make a pie and see what happens. Maybe that's
part
of it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I suppose. All right. So, yes, Ian shocks us all by having all kinds of money come in, and I didn't see, you know, Luke Perry or Tori Spelling or Brian Austin Green. None of the 90210 people show up with a check in hand. What's the story there?
Well, I was a little confused because I thought he said the number $185,000 as part of his war chest, and then later. When Donald came by, I think it was Donald. Was it Donald or Eric that came by and saw the check?
It was Eric. Yeah.
Yeah, and so he showed him a check for $165.
Although I can understand why you'd get confused there. Poor Eric.
Yeah. I don't want to say anything else about it, but but still, I was very surprised that there's one fat check for $165. So I'm wondering, Danny, if that just means that, like, it's the sum total, that 165 was, like, of a group effort. Like, maybe it could have even been all the 90210 people, or maybe it could have been his 90210 people plus his Sharknado people. You get all the money together, and then somebody delivers it in one big, big fat check. Because I don't know if you know this, but there are certain rules, according to Keisha McPulliam, about how the money has to be turned in. Obviously, you have to turn in the money by a certain time, but it has to be like some sort of guaranteed income. I don't think it's either cash or maybe like a certified check or a money order or something like that. I don't think you can just show up and write a check.
Okay.
So maybe I'm thinking he got all this money from all these people, and then went to the bank. And then had it all combined into this one certified check of $165,000. And then he just didn't tell us where the – because he didn't say what the source of that check was, right?
Well, I can tell you the source of the check.
And
you're completely wrong.
No,
90210 people were involved whatsoever.
Really?
Where are you, Nat, from the Peach Pit? Anyway.
Wow.
New Skin is a company that he works with. It's an anti-aging company. They gave him the 165. But this may make you feel better because he did say he did say something like 185. He got another $25,000 from Chippendales.
Oh, right, because they were there.
Yes. So, if you add those two up, you know, you're over that 185 that he was promising.
So basically he didn't tap into any of his former, you know, friends and co-workers, right?
It certainly doesn't seem that way. It really doesn't, you know. I Listen, the people who make Sharknado, that company, The Asylum, all they do is make terrible movies like that, and they've been doing it for years and years. You know, they make mockbusters. So, like, if you saw Transformers, you'd see Transmorphers. You know, I'm not making that up. That's legit.
Okay.
That's real. Okay. There's a company that's just has, you know, they make movies really cheap, and they get a nice little tiny profit all the time. Nobody from there. Because Sharknado is their biggest thing ever. It's the one thing that everybody knows about, is showing up with a check. I mean, at least that's recent for him.
But you know what, though? Maybe if you're Ian, because, you know, there's going to be one more fundraising task for sure, right? There has to be, right?
Yeah, probably towards the end, yes. I would think so.
Right. So maybe this just gives him the comfort where he doesn't have to tap into that other resource, you know? And maybe we'll see that the next time around, because – It looks to me, it eventually didn't work out for him, but maybe he thought with him bringing in, you know, $200,000 on his own, that there's no way that the Geraldo team can match that,
right?
If everybody else just, you know, chips in a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe that's what he was thinking.
I tell you, when I saw the $165 check, I really thought he had the edge. I was like, oh man, that's tough. I mean, that's where we're starting. Wow, that's really good. And good for Kate Gosselin to actually show up with some money this time.
That was huge, right?
Yeah.
It was just like,
yeah.
I don't know whether or not I want to like her or not. I actually watched a few minutes of her show the other night just to, like, try to get a handle on who she is.
Wait a minute. Like, was John in it? Was it John and Kate plus 8, or was it just Kate?
I think it was called Kate plus 8. John may have been in it.
Okay, well, all right, because after he left, then it became just Kate plus 8.
I think it was just Kate plus 8, but
okay.
There was they were white river rafting, white water river rafting, whatever you call that.
Okay.
And like the guide was getting annoyed with her, and and he's like, "Are you okay?" or something like that. Or
shocking.
And she says, "Look, if I have a problem with it, I'll let you know." And then under his breath, he goes, "I'm sure you will."
Yeah, you know what? That sounds exactly what I remember, like, watching, like, when John was around. Except instead of the guide, it was John all the time doing that. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah. So, anyways, I know that she can be a little overbearing, although it looks to me, Danny, that most of that overbearingness has started to subside. Like, maybe she's sort of, like, regrouping herself over the last couple of episodes.
Maybe she is. You know, I'll tell you, in that first episode, when her check doesn't come in, right? I've got money coming, and it doesn't come in time. It's embarrassing.
Yep.
I just feel embarrassed for the people who don't have money showing up. So she had a check for $30,000 show up at the very end, too. But anyway, good for you, Kate. Now,
yeah, you know, it is embarrassing, and it also damages your credibility. Like, don't you think that you're thinking – because it's also because they're reality show people who have the hardest time with this stuff. And don't you sort of like – aren't you a little suspicious that they're telling the truth or not?
Oh, yeah, I kind of wonder about that. If they just figure, well, you know what, I could probably just skate on this one time. And I also think, why did you show up here if you weren't going to have this? Because this is the most important thing, is that if you don't have it, you're probably not going to survive that task. Don't you realize
this? Right.
You know, you could spin it other ways when you're in the boardroom. You know, like at this point, and I'll get to that in a minute when we get to the boardroom. But I mean, there are ways that you could kind of finagle your way out if you didn't if you're the lowest person. You know, if you start talking about other things that you've done in the world. But anyway,
sure.
But anyway, oh shoot, I totally forgot where I was going next here. I think I was going into the no. Here's what I want to ask you, because once again, we have the Brandi Glanville panic attack issue. She's claiming that she's got problems, and then she's just gone, and then she calls from her, oh, by the way, I'm home now, and I'm feeling better, but just so you know, I was having a panic attack.
Didn't say home, though. Like, she said she was in bed, but then somebody else said that she was in the hotel. Like, Kenya said that, right?
Yeah, that's true. You're right, because they're all staying at Trump Tower, I believe. Yeah.
Okay, but still, you know, she starts out that part of the scene where she's not sitting next to the group. The group is seated around this table, and the group includes you know, T.O. and Ian and Kenya.
Yes.
And they're on their cell phones, and they're calling people, and they're trying to, you know, draw up the funds. And she doesn't want to sit there. And I believe actually she was sitting, she had the seat next to Kenya, didn't she, at first?
Yeah, I think she did.
So she didn't want to do that. She didn't want to work that close to Kenya. So she steps away from it all, makes her calls, and looks to me like she's giving it a real effort. But then she just disappears. And before she disappeared, I had walked over to her and asked her to come back to the table. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
He did ask her to do that. And she wasn't having that, I guess. In fact, her response was to just disappear. And, you know, he's calling her. He's like, where are you? And then she tells him that, you know, she's had this panic attack and that she was dizzy and nauseous and all this stuff. And, you know, it was like, whoa, okay.
And then there's a quick moment where Ian has to defend her to Terrell and Kenya, who were kind of making fun of her for not being around. And Ian just sounds like – he sounds like the principal or something.
He does. He sounds like the teacher, you know, going by the table with the three girls that are bitching about some other girl.
Yes, exactly. Oh man. Now, if you are T.O. and you know his money didn't come through, now there's something suspect because I don't think there was a single shot of him on the phone at all. And
he had his phone in his hand a lot, though.
Well, I understand. Words with Friends is very addicting, so I can totally get that. But I didn't see him make a lot of calls, and we already went through this with him, in which he did not raise a lot of money in the first task. So right. If you are T.O. and you already skated by on this once, and you can see the writing on the wall. Now, here it is, Joey. What does Joey do in this situation? How do you handle that?
If I'm in his spot,
yes.
Where I did really poor the first time.
Yes.
I'm more honest about it, you know, I don't want to say that because I don't know for sure if he was dishonest, but I would say that, remember when Ian walked by him and said, you know, he was trying to encourage him to at least just keep trying to make phone calls, you know, in other words,
yeah,
convince Ian that you're trying is what that really meant. And what T.O. was saying is, look, I can't make him do it.
You're right.
And, you know, which sounds a little bit like a quitter. Like, you know, I don't really want to. I'm not really good at this. And how many times am I going to pester somebody? And I think what I would have done is I would have been concerned that how's my performance going to look later. If I'm just standing around with a phone in one hand and a cheeseburger in the other, which that was a pretty big cheeseburger, by the way.
Well, you know, he's a growing boy. What do you expect? Come on.
Yeah, of course. But still, I mean, if that's the image that you're left with, then you're in trouble. You know, I mean, you already are in trouble. You're up against the eight ball because you don't have the funds. And secondarily, you don't look like you're trying that hard. You don't look like you care that much. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a lack of like noticeable concern for the task. You know, it's just, you know what? Live and let live. No, it's not live and let live. You know, you got to go out there and make it happen, you know? And, So if it was me, I would have been scrambling more, you know, in obvious ways. You know, I would have been on the phone or texting Ian and showing him, hey, look at this response I got. I think maybe this guy's going to come through for me. Or, you know, just try to at least make him feel better that I have his back.
Yeah. Start going around and, you know, get coffee for everyone. Start kissing ass. Make Ian your good friend so he'll feel bad about bringing you back into the boardroom. You know, there's ways. You're right. He seemed like he just didn't give a damn after a certain point. Yeah, you know, I called people. Not pestering it. Look, I'm not the landlord here. I'm not trying to get the rent. He might as well have just said that.
I'm not Mr. Furley.
Exactly. Trying to get the $300. Why did it take? Why was it so hard for them to get $300 a month? Among three people on Three's Company. Come on.
Or maybe Mr. Roper would have been better.
Mr. Roper was definitely more rent involved.
Yeah, right. He was.
he's gonna toss those kids out. Now, let's get to the boardroom, all right? Trump does something very interesting and very borderline evil. He brings both groups in. He announces, all right, just so you know, this was really close. This was really close. You guys raised a lot of money. You raised almost $600,000. And then he has to add in, it's not the most we've ever done. You know, as you know, we're the most greatest thing that's ever been produced on television. And we've blah, 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 blah. You know, just had to self-congratulate himself a little bit there.
Right, of course.
just so Trump of him. But then he had to, like, turn the screw a little bit. The difference between the two teams, $2,500. Here's what we're going to do, because normally it's winner take all. If you win, you get both. You get the other team's money. I'm going to give you an option to split it, where you guys will – you will keep what you earned, and the other team will keep what they earned. But you, the two project heads, Ian and Geraldo, you two have to talk it out about what to do. How evil is that? And I ask you this because he keeps putting it to Ian. He is looking at Ian most of the time, and he says, this is what I would do. I would go for it all, and I know how much you want to kick Geraldo's ass.
Yeah, he even says, is that the moment when he says, I'm pretty sure you don't like Geraldo?
Yes, I think so, yes.
Yeah.
Now, Ian, he says to Geraldo when they're about to discuss it, Geraldo, well, beauty before age, so you go ahead.
Which doesn't make sense, right?
No, it's completely backwards.
You. He got it wrong.
He got it completely wrong, and no one in the boardroom said anything.
I know.
Ivanka Trump, who is the smartest person in the room, I think, is just like not paying attention. It's like, no, I'm sorry. You said that wrong. Let's back that up.
Oh, who knows? Maybe they edited out the correction or whatever. But I was like, they glossed over it so easily. I kept saying to myself. Do I have it wrong? Because Geraldo kind of went like right after that, you know? Like I didn't,
yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's possible that there was something that was lost in the editing, but, you know, come on. And it's so great because Ian has turned, he's shown himself to be a bit of a blowhard. You know, just so super sincere. Just the opposite of Steve Sanders. It's just really, I'm getting a little full of that. But he gives it to Geraldo to make the choice, which I thought was interesting. I think he was a little afraid. I think he didn't know what to do.
I absolutely think you're right. I think that, you know, Trump was really hoping to build more anticipation with the battle of the two egos.
Yes.
You know, going for it. And I think that Geraldo came up with the save. Because I think it played to her. I thought for sure Geraldo would say, I'm going for it. Because that's the way he's played so far. He's a big gambler. He's sort of all in or nothing. And I think Ian felt like if he made the decision, then he was going to look like a loser. Like it was basically a game of chicken. And I think Ian backed out and let Geraldo, you know, make the move. And I think Ian would have just gone with whatever Geraldo said. So, like, if Geraldo said, no, but yeah, let's go ahead. Let's put all the money in the pot, and it goes to whoever, then I would have said, all right, fine, I'm in. And, you know, he would have pushed his chips up to the table.
Yes.
And, like, get right. But that's not what happened is Geraldo came up with a brilliant argument back. He said, listen, this is bigger than our egos. This is for charity, you know. And I don't think I think it would be irresponsible of me to go all in on my chips and risk my charity getting zero. If it was my money, maybe, but it's not my money. These kids are counting on me, and I can't afford to take that risk. And then I was like in love with that save. And he's like, oh yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yes, yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you, it showed you that Geraldo is a lot more shrewd and smarter than people out there might be thinking that he is.
I totally agree with you. He is incredibly shrewd on the spot, in the moment.
Yes.
He knows when to jump in, and he knows when he's a little bit nervous. Okay, how am I going to get out of this? And he's eloquent enough. And you know, it comes. That's a great idea. He was resourceful and creative. And really, I mean, just the way he said it, it made me go, well, I guess he's right. Like, even I, who want to see the drama unfold, I'm going, well, I guess he's right. You know?
Well, he said it like – almost like a politician, almost like he was the president of the United States, where listen, this is the smart thing to do. This is way more important than you and I. You know, he just sounded so good in that moment. Yeah. I don't know if people are talking about that because everyone is very busy talking about what an a-hole Geraldo has been most of the time on Celebrity Apprentice. But I think right there, and he's still my pick. He's still my pick to win it, and it's for moments like that because he's smarter than I think people are realizing. Anyway.
He is absolutely brilliant in the boardroom.
Yes. Yeah,
as much as he gets picked apart and people attack him and whatever.
Yeah,
he's you know, I said this in our Facebook fan page, I believe that he's basically made of Teflon. You know, like Trump does not think poorly of him at all. Even though he's been brought back, you know, each of the two times that they lost, he was brought back. He was criticized.
Yes,
and you really didn't hear Trump go after him very much. You know, and Geraldo has the right answers at the right time. And he says them the right way, you know?
Yeah, you know, and Trump said something interesting in one of the boardrooms when he was – I think it was when he was with – when he was firing Jamie. I want to say it was that time. But he was talking about the more popular thing to do. And he was saying how in the second episode, you know what? You know, firing Kevin Jonas, I lost – you know, he was a really popular guy. But I would have lost credibility had I gotten rid of him.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty interesting. For him to at least acknowledge, because I'm still a little surprised at, about the Jonas exit. All right, so Geraldo has the money split. He wins. Time to bring people back into the boardroom. And this is the quickest, easiest boardroom I maybe have ever seen. All right, who are the two lowest people to bring money in? Well, Johnny Damon and Terrell Owens.
What? The two athletes?
Yeah, I know. Shocking.
You know what else was shocking about that is that when Terrell was asked how much he brought in, once again, he didn't know the number.
Yeah, I know.
I would say it's between, 5 and, I don't know, 10,000.
Yeah, you know, and Ian didn't know the number either. He didn't know who brought in what. I think that's a little ridiculous. I don't know if it's accurate or not. I don't know if – I wonder, is he just pretending so this way he can make it seem like, well, it's all academic. I don't even know. Who was the last two? Oh, it's you two. Well, I guess you two are the ones I got to do. It's not like he went in there already knowing, well, if I lose, I got to bring in T.O. and Johnny back. And listen, guys, before we go in there, I just want you to know, I know you guys are on the bottom, so if it doesn't work out our way, I got to bring you guys back in. I don't know. I think it seems a little fraudulent to me that
it could have been, but it could have also been that he walked in is so incredibly cocky and overconfident that he was going to win, you know, that he wasn't sweating it.
But nobody seems to know. Like, none of the project managers know what everybody brought in. How do you not look at the list and see?
I agree, especially when there's only five people to keep track of it. Is it five?
Yeah, it's like five or six people tops. Right. Come on, look at the list.
Like, the first week, I think that was going to be tougher. But, like, now it's not. It's not that hard. But here's something else that we glossed over, if you don't mind me doing a little bit of a rewind here.
Do it.
The rivalry between Brandy and Kenya comes up again, right? I mean, Brandy gets attacked for flaking out and basically being a quitter. And I think Terrell, when he's watching, you know, the first half of that boardroom, you know, fight, he even calls her a quitter, doesn't he?
I am not – honestly, I don't recall if he did.
He says that. He says, you know, I can't believe that she checked out like that.
Oh, yes, he does. You're right. He does. Yep.
And he completely calls her a quitter. And really, that's how it looked. But the thing is that what we need to remind our fans of is that the ability that she showed in coming back and actually raising the second highest amount of money, that was a huge save for her.
Oh, it was a huge save because honestly, all that what it showed is you don't actually have to be there for those kinds of tasks. You can go home and do it from bed. As long as you get the people to show up on the day of the event, that's all that really matters.
Right. And so she winds up raising $40,000, I believe. And Kenya wound up raising $35,000. And that was a good save for Kenya because Brandy would have really, really had the opportunity to try to rip Kenya. I'm not saying she would have succeeded, but she really would have had a bigger opening. But nonetheless, it really deflects any potential criticism from really sticking to Brandy. And then that just – since it one sort of washes out the other, leaves us somewhere in the middle like she always seems to be when she says that she raised about 20, then it's really obvious that it's got to be the two goobers at the other end, you know.
He's, and remember what Trump was asking Johnny Damon, like, "Hey, how come you can't call John Henry the owner of the Red Sox? I'm sure you call him and ask him for more money, and he's just going to write you a check." And then Damon says, "Do you remember what he said?"
Yeah, he said, "Well, he didn't do it in 2005." That was phenomenal because as Trump is saying it, I'm saying, Trump, did you not know what happened? Does anybody not, you know, everyone keeps associating him with the Red Sox, which is fine for historic sense, but I don't know that if he could go back to Boston when he stabbed them all in the back by signing with the hated Yankees, right?
I think he can. No, I think he can.
You think so?
He just recently had some sort of a Johnny Damon day there.
Okay.
And yeah, and he was, yeah, I think he can, you know, for charity, but it was still a great line.
It was, yes, it was. For all you
sports
fans.
And on the flip side with T.O., you know, you could have asked him about, well, listen, you know, Terrell, you know, you played for Jerry Jones, you know, I mean, who's a similar type of owner as John Henry, you know, tons of money, whatever.
Absolutely.
Right?
Sure.
You know, so, you know what, but he didn't do that, you know. And and so T.O. kept saying to, you know, in the boardroom and throughout the task, he was saying that he was waiting on callbacks and that, you know, basically one guy, when he gets to the boardroom, he said that basically one guy let him down.
Yes, that's true. You're right. And Trump wanted him to name names and he doesn't do it. He doesn't go ahead and let you know. Yeah, well, it was Jeff Garcia. You know, that doesn't happen. Which would have been great if Jeff Garcia said, yeah, don't worry, I'm sending a check, it'll be there. And then he, you know, hangs up and laughs. Screw you,
right,
T.O.
Right. Or Jerry Rice. Oh, no, it's going to be my main man, Donovan McNabb.
Yes, exactly. That's the other one.
Yes. I mean, the fact that he basically refused to, like, get mad. When Trump was really trying to see if he was being honest, I think, because he kept saying, listen, you know, if this guy, this one person, they didn't come through, right? He says, well, yeah, I guess. And well, then they basically screwed you over, right? I mean, they screwed you, didn't they? Well, I don't know. Listen, if that one person had come in for, what, $5,000? Yeah, it was going to be something like that. Well, then you would have won because his entire team lost by 2,500. You know, so if he gets 2,600, then they wouldn't be there. So, like, that should actually, if you're telling the truth, you should be really frustrated that this person let you down. And he's not showing that once again, leading you to doubt his credibility.
Yeah, and T.O. seemed resigned to his fate
when they
went back in there. I'm going to be fired. I'm the low man on the totem pole. That's all there is to it. And I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to take it.
Yes, I'm just going to take it. Exactly right. I'm just going to take it. And it really was the same exact thing as what happened with Jamie in that sense, who got fired in the same episode. She kind of did the same thing. She kind of shrugged her shoulders a little bit and just let it happen.
Yeah, you know, you could go ahead and toss out, listen, this is what I've done while I've been here, you know, and some people will talk about their value going down the line, and there was none of that. It was just, yep, I'm going to go home now. I know, I'm the low man. That's the rule. That's how it is, you know.
Yep.
You definitely, I mean, it would have been a little hard for T.O. to talk about how he was more valuable than Johnny Damon, because Damon at least has a check in the win category that's next to his name.
That's
and
true.
And you know, that's got to carry some kind of weight, and T.O. does not have that. So he probably could not have talked his way out of it, but at least an attempt would have been nice.
And that's the thing. And if you don't show Trump that you want to fight to be there, then he doesn't want you there.
Yeah, that's correct.
In that respect, I'm completely on board with him. If you don't think that this game is worth fighting for, then go home.
Absolutely.
Know, then go. And that's how, you know, on Survivor, that's how Jeff Probst feels. Every now and then somebody will tap out. You know, they don't want to stay in the game anymore. And lots of times Probst is not very kind to those people, doesn't really, you know, doesn't really support them. And you know, things kind of takes it as an affront. You know, it's like a personal offense to him. And, you know, again, I brought up the part about T.O. saying that, you know, right there, saying to his own team that he felt that Brandy was a quitter. He used that word. He called her a quitter, you know, for her panic attack. Well, when you show no fight in the boardroom, isn't that quitting?
I believe that's what you would call that. You would call that a quit. Yes. He walked in with his hands up. That's it. I'm done.
Yeah, he really did.
He should have just walked in and just shook Trump's hand and walked out. All right. T.O. out, y'all. That would have been great. Yes,
go out in a blaze of glory.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe he could have said, you know what? You're not firing me. I'm firing you.
You can't fire me. I quit.
Yeah, there you go. One of those.
Just toss one of those cliches out there. That would have been great. All right, so now we've gone ahead and we've gone over both episodes, and now we're going to put it all in the hands of Joey. We're going to find out what is it that Joey thinks as we go over what he has come up with for his Celebrity Apprentice Power Rankings.
Ooh,
dun, dun, dun. Oh, do you want a, you want that?
I'm really glad you did that for me. Thank you.
Okay, just for you, I busted out the dramatic stab. All right, so Joey, break down the power rankings. How are our celebrities doing? Who's on top and who is not?
Well, I'll tell you, here's what we did. We ranked all of the players from 1 to 16, and they're going to continue to be ranked throughout the season, even as they get fired.
Even fired people are hanging around on your list. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, it's a great question because I didn't have it that way originally, but then I started thinking about it, and I realized that some people, my opinion of some people's performances, even after they were out of the game, changed a little bit. Like, I thought, you know, that going into Monday night, that if I had done the power rankings before then, that Keisha Knight Pulliam, who had been fired in the very first episode, she was going to be number 16, and she was probably just going to stay there. And then I started thinking about it, like, Janie was so bad. I mean, she was so, so incredibly bad. Not just in the last episode and in the last task, but really pretty much throughout the show. She had more opportunity, perhaps, to fail and prove herself, but she wound up going at the bottom. So I have her right now as the number 16 best or worst player, however you want to view that, on the rankings. And then above her, I have Gilbert Gottfried. I thought he was a bit of a joke. And then I have Keisha. So Keisha actually, you know, played her way up by not doing anything.
Like, again, by people just being worse than she was.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's fine. You know, that's right. I totally agree with what you're doing here. And I kind of like it because, you know what? Sometimes fired people, when you get down to the end, they come back.
That's also true.
And leave a nice impression. So, you know, Keisha, who's sitting there at 14, you know, she could jump up to number 5 or something if she comes back and does something impressive.
I thought about that as well. You know, so you know always in the final episode, like 3, maybe 6 players return in total, and they help out, you know, each of the 2 finalists, right? It could be more. It could be 4 on each side or whatever.
Yes.
So I thought about that as well. And I think in past seasons, am I wrong about this, Danny, but hasn't he brought somebody back, like, to actually be in the game again? Has that happened?
I want to say that, jeez, who did, what's, LaToya. Didn't LaToya come back?
Yes, LaToya, there you go, perfect. She came back to Donald Trump and kind of begged her way back in.
Oh, my God, and there was that contrived meeting in the office.
Yes,
where,
right,
oh, my
right,
God.
Right. Right.
I don't remember whose office it was. Was it her going to Trump's office, or was it him going to her office?
Oh, no. She was in his office. I'm sure it was one of his many offices.
It looked surprisingly small.
Yes, it was very contrived. It looked like, you know, it was happening on the set of Good Times, actually.
It's a great set, though, by the way.
So yeah, I think that one of these people could come back. Like, and the number one candidate for that is Kevin Jonas.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, I think so. Now, where is he on the list?
Kevin Jonas is number 12. He can't jump. He cannot jump above any of the players that are still in the game, of course, even though clearly I think he's a better player than Sean Johnson, who's number 11.
Okay.
But it just doesn't seem fair to me to, you know, to take fired people that are currently out of the game and rank them above people that are in the game.
All right. So we've got Jamie Anderson, Gilbert Gottfried, Keisha, Terrell Owens, and then Kevin Jonas. And I think Kevin Jonas is the one person of all of the fired people that we would like to see back.
We'd like to see him back. The show would like to see him and his 4 million Twitter followers back. I don't know how fair it's going to be for him to come back because he made a critical mistake, and then now all of a sudden you know, let's say Ian gets tossed out. You know, it's Geraldo's game to win, and then out of the blue, this guy shows up, or maybe the other way around. Maybe we'll view it as Ian's game to win. Geraldo's out. You know, I'm not sure how that's going to be viewed, but still, it could happen at some point.
Okay. All right. So now we're on to the people who are actually still playing the game. Who is who's next on your list?
Well, the worst of the 11 is number 11, Shawn Johnson. I mean, she's just every episode. I wanted to have some sympathy for her because of the whole Moon Cycle outing thing. You know, that I still think that was a pretty Bush move by Vivica to really call her out in the boardroom that way and embarrass her that way. But, you know, she still doesn't really know how to step up to the plate. She, you know, her the thing that she was most proud of, it seemed to me, in the entire 2 hours was the fact that she was willing to jump up on that, climb up that.
Yes.
That, what is it? No,
I don't know, the doorway over there. I don't know, the precipice. I don't know, whatever it was.
Whatever it was, you know, yeah. It was like this big ledge. She climbed up there. And, you know, she hung some signs up. It's not like she did it in some acrobatic way where she backflipped her way up there, you know.
That would have been fantastic. You're right.
That really would have been fantastic. Yeah. Then I would be going, oh, well, wait a minute. But, you know, she went up there and then she talked about how she's still, you know, she's an athlete or an Olympic athlete. And I'm like, well, I don't know. That wasn't that impressive. But anyway, she's pretty bad. She has no fight in the boardroom. She just seems clueless the whole time. You know, she just seems like, you know, she's eaten a lot of, you know, marijuana, you know, chocolate bars or something.
Oh,
you know?
My goodness. Please go ahead and send your letters to Joey, care of Celebrity Apprentice Recap. All right. Next on the list, who's 10th?
Sig Hansen, who really doesn't do anything yet. Like, the thing you said that, you know, at the start of this where he was battling Ian to be the project manager.
Yes.
Was really stunning to me because he's shown so little personality, really. I mean, he showed a little bit when he was corralling the women that were walking by the wedding dress store and, like, try to, you know, basically shove them into the into the store. And,
right,
you know,
right.
I think you know, so that was sort of funny. But really, they're not showing him do anything else. So I don't know if he is doing more or not, but the edit is not helping him at all.
Absolutely not. He is – honestly, you could just call him Sig the Invisible Man Hansen. It's almost as though he's not there.
Right.
He is the most invisible of all our celebrities. All right. Who is number 9?
Number 9 is Brandi Glanville. And, you know, like I said, I still have some sympathy for her. But now we're starting to at least get to the people that appear to have some fight in them, some level of competence. That was just a huge save by her to come up with that cash, because that flake out and then the constant shots that she kept taking at Kenya, she is very intimidated by her. There's no way around it. She's definitely intimidated by Kenya, and she's not performing super well. But and then she actually, you know, she wusses out. And but she comes back and she brings $40,000 to the table. You know, so that was big, and that saves her for the moment. And she did not get brought back to the boardroom, surprisingly. So all of that keeps her, you know, in sort of safe water, sort of safe.
Okay. I would say if she gets, you know, bumped off the next week, no one is surprised. No one is surprised. All right. So number 8,
Kenya. Now, you know, Kenya's tough because I could see her being higher. I could see her being, you know, maybe 4th.
Sure, I could
and
too.
And I could see her down here because she's actually shown a couple of things to me that are interesting. She's really, really well spoken. You know, she doesn't come off that way at first, but then when she has to defend herself, you know, she makes lucid arguments. I mean, she still says, you know, she still calls somebody bitches and stuff like that. She does do that, but she's more intelligent than I would have thought she was. Plus, she has more skills than I thought. I thought she was just, you know, one of these, you know, recent housewives, reality star people.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they come in with a bunch of attitude and nothing else. She's still hurt by her attitude. She's still number 8 because of her attitude. Her attitude can take her out at any moment. And has she been project manager yet? She has not. Right?
She has not. That's got to be coming up maybe next week.
Yeah. And that's going to be a big problem for her because I don't know if people are going to want to follow her.
I don't either, especially considering that she's got Brandy on her team, and that there is, of course, the big problem. But also, good to know, Joey likes to stereotype that all of the reality people as not being well-spoken. This one is a surprise to him.
That's right.
Number seven.
Number seven, another one also. This is all these people that are still in the game are relatively weak, but you know, as I climb up, this is where I put Lorenzo. I mean, I would have put Lorenzo lower, but I think Lorenzo's game is slightly on the rise because he never really gets in trouble. He's fairly well liked, and he has a skill set that has really come through for the guys in wins. You know, he's able to run the direction behind the camera, and you know, that's big. Like, so they won the photo spread, and then they had the infomercial. And, you know, he also recorded, you know, the voiceover from Geraldo. So his work behind the camera is very valuable. I don't see anybody else with that kind of knowledge. And I think they've even said that he has that kind of knowledge. They acknowledge that about his knowledge, if you will. Mm-hmm. He just hasn't done a lot around that. He also escaped with winning in the fundraising task, so we didn't find out how he performed in the fundraising task. As we know, he basically did not perform at all in the first time that they had a fundraising task.
You're correct. That's right. So we did not know. He has kind of turned into a utility infielder, is how I kind of look at Lorenzo Lamas. He can, you know,
he's
a
lot
like who?
He's a lot like Lisa Gibbons, is what I was going to say.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, you're right, because she does behind the scenes, organizing, keeping things calm, no drama involved. Who's number six?
Number seven is Kate Gosselin.
Six.
And again, I don't know what to do with her. Does she go higher? Does she go lower? But I think she's in a really solid spot right now. The fact that she actually got brought into the boardroom when everyone believed that she did not deserve to be there, basically unanimously, that in itself is actually a point in her favor as far as how people view her, I think, anyway.
Wow.
And she has definitely, you know, cut down on the drama. This was a really good week for her. I don't know that she has what it takes to be a project manager, and she does have to stop. This is the one criticism that she got. She's got to stop, you know, going out and picking up the props. People don't like that.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I think I would have – I would flip Kate and Lorenzo if I was making a power ranking. But, of course, that's not my job around here. All right, number five this week.
Okay, and this is going to be the last of the people that I think are all – any two of these people could go from between 5 and 11. And this one's Johnny Damon. I do think he had a good week. Well, he had an up and down week, right? Because in the first task, he performed well. Yep. I don't think brilliantly. You know, if he doesn't have a wife who, you know, can do that kind of stuff comfortably, I don't know how well he would have performed in that task. But
wait a minute. Geraldo showed up without any pants on. That wouldn't have won it for them.
Well, no, I think I don't think it would have won it for them.
Oh.
I think things could have gone south, if you will.
You're crazy.
So he performed well in that task, did not perform well in the fundraising arena once again, and really doesn't do a whole lot. I mean, he started to do a little bit more, but none of it is really, you know, I don't know. It's not really effective or impactful to me.
I will sum it up this way. I think if he doesn't have the win checked next to his name, you'll probably drop him a few spots.
That helps him, man. Yeah. There's just no doubt about it. Yeah. That helps him. But it's funny, in the same episode, he goes from having the win to being in the boardroom again.
Yeah, let's hope there's no more fundraising involved because Terrell Owens is not around to be lower than he is.
There you go. You're exactly right.
All right, so to the top four, the people who actually still matter and have legit shots at winning, who's your fourth person?
That's Vivica A. Fox, and I think that she did not have a strong week. I think that maybe she learned a lesson, you know, from how hard she came after Sean Johnson and realized that was a little too much drama, maybe. And so she really reeled it in, like, way back. We saw very little of her, you know, in either of the two parts of the show. She didn't step up. She also didn't fail. But I think I just saw nothing that was – she just didn't really make an impact. I don't know that I would have known until I did this list that she actually played.
You're right. She was completely invisible this week until we got to the boardroom and she said something or other. I was like, oh, that's right. Vivica Fox is on this show. I forgot all about that. Yeah. She had one of those invisible weeks. All right, who's third?
Third, and this is where you get to, it's the big three. And I think it's a legit big three. And number three, and she's the most intriguing player in the game to me. It's Lisa Gibbons. She doesn't make a mistake, this woman. She doesn't say anything wrong. She doesn't piss anybody off. She actually, I don't know if you recall this, but she actually was the one player that kind of defended Brandy when everybody was going after Brandy. Mm-hmm. She defended her a little bit, and nobody got upset with her over that. You know, so she really knows how, like Geraldo, to phrase things powerfully and to not make Trump go, well, wait a minute, and like try to drill her down ever, She also is super helpful, in all these tasks. You know, she jumps right in and she finds a way to make a noticeable impact. The one thing that we haven't seen, and this is why she's intriguing, is her take on the premier role. She's not the project manager.
Yeah, that has to be coming up.
I don't know that she needs to do that because that may expose something. And right now, if I was her advisor, mm-hmm. I would be saying, listen, don't be a project manager yet. Coast a little bit more. Wait till it becomes more important, because there's other people that are going to have to put it on the line, and those people are definitely going to be at risk when they do. And she just has a really overall kind of, like Geraldo so far, a Teflon game so far.
I'll tell you, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but I think it would behoove her to be a project manager sooner than later. Because if it goes south for her, at least she's going to have some people that she can easily nudge out the door, like Sean Johnson or Brandy or some of these weaker players. So the longer she stays around, she's going to be stuck in the boardroom with Kenya or somebody who's got some claws, and it's not going to be so simple. So I think for her, she better act sooner than later. Who is your number two?
Number two, it just comes down to the way the episode went down. Ian Ziering has to be number two. He went toe-to-toe with Geraldo, and he was a strong player, but he was overconfident, and he did not get the most out of his people. I mean, not for a lack of effort, but he still didn't get the athletes to come big for him. I think that he tried a little bit. We saw him trying with T.O., but I don't know. Maybe I have the sense that if he was more desperate and more frantic, if he thought that he was in bad shape, that he would have found a way to get more money. If he knew that he was going to fall $2,500 short, I bet you anything that he would have gotten that money. And I think that was a tactical error on his part. He also is now becoming a little bit annoying, like you said, you kind of said earlier. You know, he starts his task with a pep rally that nobody appreciated. And then at the end of the episode, how about Dr. Phil stuff with T.O. and, telling him how proud of him he is as a human being and this and that. No.
Good Lord.
I mean, really, have you developed that kind of a relationship with T.O. that he should be taking advice from you? I think
he, in that moment, actually believed that Terrell Owens got fired from a job. I think he believed that really happened. Because he acted as though, well, look, don't worry. You know what? You're going to land on your feet one of these days. You're going to be back. You'll be fine. That was right there such a gag reflex moment for Ian. Now, I agree with you at putting him at number two. Even though he lost, he showed – he came up much bigger than any of us thought that he could have come up with. But, yeah, let's tone it down on some of the things that you're throwing out there with your mouth there, Ian. Holy cow. Yes.
He also had some significant chutzpah here. At the end of that task, when Harrell, so the numbers were like, it was like 292,500 for Ian, and it was like 295,000 for Geraldo or something like that. And he kicked in an extra 5,000 or 6,000 to Geraldo for winning, saying, listen, let's just make it an even 300,000. And Geraldo was grateful. And then when Ian had to come into the boardroom, asked him to do the same thing for his charity. And I couldn't believe that he had the balls to do that. But he did it, and Trump said no right away, but then he was joking, and then he said yes. And I thought that was a pretty powerful move. That was really impressive, especially when Trump says no. And then he says, come on, man.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I forgot about that moment. That was a nice little moment for Ian right there. You're right.
Yes.
You know, I've seen people going out the door and, you know, once – and I don't know why it doesn't happen more often, where they say, well, can I get something for my charity? And all right, I'll give you $10,000. I've seen that happen a couple of times. But, yeah, I thought that was a nice little moment for Ian. You're right. All right, so now he goes back up a little bit. Would you like a crappy drum roll for your number one spot?
Of course.
All right, here we go.
Geraldo Rivera!
Was there any doubt? Yeah, Geraldo, how about, yes. I'm telling you, I told you episode one, Geraldo is going to win this thing. I am still believing that. I will believe that until he gets fired and I'm proven wrong. But I totally believe that. Go ahead, Joey. Tell us why he's your number one person.
Is he the only person, a project manager with two wins? I think he is, right?
Absolutely.
There you go. And two big wins. This was a huge win against Ian. You know, Ian did what he did. I would have thought that Ian would have come up with more people. And like we talked about already in the fundraising task, like this is fundraising is supposed to be, you know, the thing that he's good at because of all of his Hollywood connections. And he came in prepared. He had planned for this, you know, months ago when he knew that, or months before the show was filmed, because he was prepared for it. And I don't get the feeling that Geraldo did that. You know, I feel like Geraldo is actually sort of figuring out this game on the fly, and he's actually doing it. He is figuring it out on the fly. He's getting less and less. He's gone from annoying. He's starting to shift over to wacky, like you said. You know, like. And more likable, I think. I when he stood out there in front of the on the sidewalk with Kate, and they were supposed to be the couple.
Oh yes, that's right. They were
right. I thought there were some good moments there. And do you remember at the very beginning of that task when Donald Trump says to him, and he's turning to Geraldo because he figures that Geraldo's going to give him, you know, a statistic, and he says to him, all right, as everyone knows, divorces are very high in this country. Geraldo, what can you? How many divorces? And then before Trump can finish that question, Geraldo jumps in and says, "Oh, four, boss." And he's like, "I'm not talking about you. I meant the country."
That was hilarious. You're correct.
Yes. So, but I mean, doing things like that kind of shows that, you know, he can. You know, he has a sense that he can laugh at himself a bit. He's not going to be dishonest. Like, I don't think we've seen that he would be dishonest in any way.
You're right.
So he's going to admit the bad truth if he has to, although he'll spin it. But he'll spin it intelligently. His play in the boardroom is just really phenomenal. He doesn't ever seem to be scrambling that hard when he's in the boardroom. But he definitely can roll up the sleeves and fight somebody off if he needs to. And he's proud of that. He's proud of, you know, being able to, you know, being willing and able to get down in the dirt and fight if he has to. We're hearing fewer remarks about himself. He's not, I don't know what the third person count was for this episode, but it's got to be down 50%, you know, from the last episode, right? So I think he's getting it. I also think I noticed
third person count.
For the first time, he was actually nervous. Did you remember that? That he started getting nervous about Ian Ziering's war chest?
Oh, he was. You're right. He was. Now he did maintain the stiff upper lip and that, yes, I just know that I won. But yeah, you're right. There was a little bit of
yeah, but there. So he's getting more, you know, so I think he's starting to figure out the game more, and so he actually is slightly less confident, but that's probably better for his game. Because the arrogance is what's really been killing him.
Oh, absolutely. If he could temper that off and make himself actually likable, he's probably unstoppable. All right, so we've done the power rankings, and I think we're done here. I think we've done all of the good work. Wait, before we go, though, do you have any last things that you want to toss out here?
Well, we should talk about who's going to be on the show next week.
You know what? You are right. I knew this was going to happen. I knew that I had heard that Joan Rivers was going to be showing up for two episodes. Are you going to get misty-eyed when Joan Rivers, the late Joan Rivers, shows up? As,
I am. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think so. Not that I'm a long life, you know, fan of hers or whatever. And, you know, and she sort of annoyed me a little bit when she was on the show, to be honest. But, you know, I grew up with her. You grew up with her.
Absolutely.
You know, in our house, you know, mom was a big fan. You know, she was a super fan of Joan Rivers. You know, so I remember, you know, her performances on, like, you know, the Johnny Carson show and things like that back in the middle 70s, maybe.
You remember, you know, her announcing The Adventures of Letterman on Electric Company.
I should remember that. I guess I'd have to see that. I'm gonna have to go to YouTube and see if I can find that.
Yeah, she was the narrator on, I believe, a number of things on Electric Company, but definitely for The Adventures of Letterman.
I'm gonna have to look that up because, of course, I watched that as a kid.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, out here where I live, you know, I read basically just about every update on her in all the New York papers. You know, on, you know, how, all the incompetence that led to the, you know, her shocking death. You know, you feel bad for Melissa and all that. So, you know, and this is going to be just a few months before, you know, all that happens to her. You know, like, she's probably already feeling the problem within her vocal cords when she's on the show, because apparently she'd been feeling that for a while before she went in to get it looked at.
All right. I don't want to look at it like that, where it's like, all right, this is the timeline of demise. All right. It is. Let's go. Oh, all right. But I don't think I'm going to get misty-eyed, but I did see her, and when they showed it, and I knew it was going to happen. I knew she was showing up at some point.
Yeah.
I did feel something. I was like, oh, look, there's Joan. And my wife got all excited. She was like, oh my God. You know, there was that whole thing about Joan Rivers. So you're right.
That's, I want to know what the ratings are going to be like in comparison for that show, you know, to the others that we've seen thus far.
This is true. I know. This Monday, they had to go up against the BCS championship.
That's right. Of course.
Yeah. So not so easy in the ratings. They finished third in the ratings for the evening.
Okay. All right. And as I understand it, that the second episode outrated the first episode by a fair margin. Like, they got, it was like 7 or 8 million for the second episode, and it was like 5 for the first. So it was trending up. Then you get the BCS championship.
Yeah,
And now you get the big bump back up. And we'll see how heavily they continue to promote the show, because I think it's an absolute winner to promote the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Anytime you can get a dead person to show up on your TV show, it's a plus, I think. You can look, this person's alive right here, and we had them before they died, and you haven't seen this. It also illustrates just how old this actual season is.
I know. How You're long right. ago right. they really filmed really it. Brings it to mind.
Yeah. All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We'll be back again next week with another Celebrity Apprentice recap. Say goodnight, everybody, Joey.
Audience, you're fired.